Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show page. We have a link to our guests that you can click on, and you can go there and find out what they are all about, get more information in that regard. We encourage you to do that because we, as I've said many times, we do not reinvent the wheel. There's no need for us to put a whole bunch of stuff up on the website when all we have to do is give you a little link that you can go to and you can find out about the guest and everything that they're doing. And we encourage you to do that. And we thank you for doing that as well, because then they have an idea of who's listening to the program, who is interested, and so forth. And I think rightly so, can follow up if you don't want to. You can always unsubscribe and those kinds of things. That's the amazing thing about the internet these days. You know, one of the subjects that we have talked about on a number of occasions throughout the 8 years that we've been doing this program has to do with your life's purpose. What are you here to do? Sometimes when I look around from a judgmental standpoint, I must admit, I think there are many people here who are just here. Their purpose in life is to take up space, to get in the way, to be a hindrance to the rest of us and our progress and moving forward. But I think the reality is probably more accurate, that these folks probably are not aware of what their purpose is, because they have, in a manner of speaking, and we'll find out from our guest here on the program, they've gotten, in a sense, trapped in the life and or lifestyle that many of us have found ourselves in from time to time, unconsciously, if you will. Sometimes, and you'll have this happen. I've had it happen where I'm doing fine. I'm driving down the road. And then the next thing I realize, I'm looking around going, either A, where am I? Or B, how did I get here? And sometimes that's what happens. So we're going to find out a little bit about that. We're going to talk with our guest, who is the author of Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. And my guest is the author, Reese Thomas. Reese, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Oh, thank you, Richard. I'm looking forward to it.
You've also created the Reese Method Life Purpose Profiles. We're going to talk about that. It's referenced in the book as well. And we're going to talk about these different profiles and how they can impact our lives and the lives of the people around us. But would you say that my assessment is fairly close to what's going on out there, that, you know, you and I, we may know what our purpose is, but all these other people that are around us who won't get out of the way, they're just not consciously aware of what it is that they're doing, because they've kind of been, I don't know if I want to use the word programmed, or they're just unconscious. They haven't awakened yet, if you will, to the awareness of their purpose and so forth.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of levels of consciousness, and the problem is, I think the biggest struggle is that we're not really taught. There's nothing in our culture, and really in any culture out there, that teaches people who they really are. And since each of us are unique in our own way, and come into the world in a unique sort of element of who we are, we're not, you know, the people that are around us, our parents, our brothers, sisters, family, ultimately they don't really want us to be ourselves. They want us to be what they want us to be. And that's one of the biggest struggles in the world is that those people that are getting in your way or driving slow or are being, you know, being ignorant or things like that, you know, ultimately you would like them to be different than they are too. And they've had that their whole lives. And what happens is that when a parent wants us to be somebody that we aren't, they want us to be nicer, they want us to be stronger, they want us to be smarter, they want us to be more caretaking. They want us to not be as whiny or as aggressive, or and those are just natural traits within us. What happens is that we go into a sort of a crisis, a life or death crisis, which I call a vow situation, where we have to make a vow within ourselves to ourselves at a very early age, that we either are going to be who we are, or we're going to get loved. And that's an impossible choice for a child. And the child will always choose love, because they know that they can't go out and live on their own. And as we choose to be who we're supposed to be, we start building these behaviors that are better, smarter, nicer, you know, getting along, staying out of the way, avoiding conflict, you know, these various different elements, and that becomes a life pattern for us. And sometimes they aren't, you know, around trauma of being rejected. It's just around, like, for me, both my parents were teachers, and I'm what's called on the five types of people, I'm what they call the creative idea. I've got this super creative mind. I was always a dreamer as a kid, always imagining things, and you know, just not totally present in my body. But I, you know, grew up, you know, with a dad who was teaching athletics and looking at the world and saying, well, you know, the men in the world and the boys and the men in the world that get the most attention and get the most praise and are the most, you know, well known are real doers. They're people that are strong and focused and driven and top athletes and you know, and I was like, that's what I want to be. And so there was sort of that rejection of this other part of me, because it wasn't going to get as much attention. It wasn't going to get as much love. It wasn't going to get what I thought the other one would. And by the time I was, I was 7 or 8 years old, I was pretty, you know, I started competing. I started playing tennis tournaments at trying to be a competitor. And I should have known, you know, between the ages of 8 and 14, I never won a tennis match. I should have known that wasn't my calling. But then after that, you know, I grew and I got stronger and I became a top New England and a professional player. And then tennis was my industry for 25 years. But the idea that I was going to be, had to be something that I wasn't, really creates a person who's not very sensitive to their life. Because when I shut down who I really am, what I'm really shutting down is the feeling of who I am, and I'm going to my brain, which is thinking it. And so a lot of these people that you're talking about that sort of get in the way and don't know what they're doing, they're trying to think their way through their lives, and it's impossible. They don't know who they are, what their purpose is. They're not inspiring. They're just sort of walking through life because the mind really isn't able to create a life purpose. It's the deeper sense of who we are. And so that's what I wrote the book about. And I didn't find it really until I started doing energy medicine work in my late 30s. I was very successful at what I was doing as an achiever, but it never felt right. I always felt like there was something big missing, and my relationships weren't great, and my relationship with my employers weren't great, and my relationship with my children, which was really the thing that drove me to it, I wasn't being able to be there, even though I was being the achiever dad. It wasn't me, and I wasn't inspiring them or being inspired by that. And so I went to energy medicine school and found out that I wasn't that at all. I was actually trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And when I really learned about these deeper elements of who we are spiritually, not just in sort of a behavioral way, what I found was that I was this more playful, creative person. And when I remembered that, everything started falling back in place, and I could look back at my life and say, oh my God, that's why all these things happened. Because the law of attraction never stops working. we are always getting exactly what we need in our lives. The problem is, if we don't know who we are, we think it's somebody else's life. We don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. We all have those moments when we're, you know, kind of stumbling around here and there. And yeah, that's just the way that it is sometimes, and we have to kind of accept that as just the reality of things, that as hard as we want. I mean, it would be great if we could find that moment that would allow us to just stay focused. you know, on the moment, the now. I often use the example of the sound wave that, as we're talking here, I'm watching it go across the screen, and there's this white line, and it kind of stutters a little bit just on the visual sense, but it normally would just sit still. So on the left of that line is the wave that is produced that shows your voice and my voice. But on the other side of that line, there's nothing. There hasn't been anything spoken there yet. It's right at that line where it's created. But the moment I see it, it's not the now anymore. That was one of the things that really struck me, was that if you have heard it, I mean, and then we're talking instantaneous here. We're talking milliseconds, but still, it's not the now. And it's like, wow. I mean, maybe I'm getting way too technical and maybe trying to get way too precise. But at the same time, when I think about being in the moment, in this moment here and now, if I cannot be thinking about the past or the future, then that's close enough, if you will. You know, this conversation you and I are having, this is the now. This is the moment. I'm listening to you and what you're sharing and your experiences and how you began this process and so forth. And you're, of course, responding to my question. So we're both, we're in the moment. And right. Obviously, and that's a good thing. I just found it fascinating as that representation of on a visual level in that regard. When you began to develop the Reese method, did you know that was what you were doing?
No. You never know. And that's the just as a funny side. I'd speak a lot, and I'd speak. I've always talked about purpose, even when I was speaking for the tennis industry, because you know if you don't know why someone plays tennis, teaching them to hit a better backhand doesn't make any sense at all. You know, they come in and say, I want a better backhand. It's like, why do you want a better backhand? You know, do you want a better backhand because you're a team player and your doubles partner can't stand it when you miss your backhand all the time? Do you want a better backhand because you know, you just want to, you know, be able to at least hit a passing shot occasionally? You know, what's your real motivation? Do you want a better backhand because you want to look fantastic out there when you do it? What's your motivation for that? And so it's more about discovering sort of the deeper purpose within somebody than what they think they want to get on the outside. And one of the things that I would do in the tennis industry, I'd talk and I'd say, so, you know, really understanding that quality within you is a moving target, and it's very difficult to know who you are and in a sort of a finalized sense. And invariably, I say, well, who knows who they are? And then people raise their hand or say, you know, what you're talking about is just crazy. I totally know who I am. And invariably, that is the person that does not have any idea who they are. Because once you obtain a level of mastery, the difference between a expert and a master, an expert thinks they know who they are. And they're an expert at being who they are. And it's completely done by memory. Nothing is actually happening in the present moment, even their feelings. Their feelings come from their thinking. They think who they are and what they ought to be thinking, because that's what I always think about this. And then I'll always feel the same way about that. And that makes my life very solid and makes me very real. And so I will always be the same, so I know who I am. A master, on the other hand, does the exact opposite. A master feels what's happening in the present moment without a judgment of it or a thought of it, lets it process through his body, and then uses his knowledge of life, of his entire lifetime, to then add some more color to that experience. And so the experience of life, of being, like you're saying, in the present moment, it, for a master, is something that they're constantly knowing. I have no idea who's going to emerge right now out of me. And I know that I have these various different character qualities, but I don't know which one's going to come forward now. And I'm certainly not going to have some sort of created set of emotions that are going to, like when someone walks in the room, you might say, oh, hey, you know, it's Richard. I love Richard. Give me a hug, Richard. Oh, fantastic. But a master would see you walk in the room and then decide how he feels right now about this relationship? And does he want to hug you? Does he want to? And how is that in this present moment? What is that? How is that relationship? Because sometimes, you know, the master might be speaking to somebody else and this is an interruption rather than, you know, I always do this. So, it's an understanding that as you're talking about being in the present moment, what does the present moment feel like for each of these five people that we're talking about? And there are literally five almost species of people, and we all know them, and we know that they can't live in anybody else's world, even though we'll all try when we're told as children that we need to be something that we are not. You know, there are people that are that the five kinds of people that I talk about in Discover Your Purpose, and they're the five life purpose profiles, are very simply, they are creative people, deep feeling people, caretaking people, achieving people, and leadership and charming people. And each of those people not only have very different character traits and behaviors, but they also, because this book is not the difference between these profiles, and there are many profile, very good profile disciplines out there. There's the Myers-Briggs, and then there's Enneagram, and there's DISC. And the difference between this, the work that's done here, the life purpose profiles, and those are that those are all behavior based, and they've been figured out and worked out by watching people's behavior. And if I watch my behavior throughout my life, I would say absolutely, unequivocally, especially when I was in my 30s, that I was a knowledgeable achiever. I would be one of the achievers because I had done everything I possibly could to be an achiever, and I used my brilliant cerebral cortex, not to support myself in being who I was, but to support myself in being who I thought I was supposed to be. And so if I look back at my behaviors and I answer questions based on my behavior, I will know for sure and reinforce the fact that I'm somebody that I'm actually not. Whereas when I found out that underlying these characters within us, and I learned this from two of the most brilliant men in the world, was Alexander Lowen and Wilhelm Reich, who back in the 30s discovered that there were specific body types that went with certain types of wounding. They worked with psych patients in mental institutions as they were trying to help people get better. But they noticed that there were literally five types of bodies in the world, five types of specific bodies, that, and each of those body types had a very specific way that they went into panic, they went into their issues, and they developed a healing modality around that. And I learned that healing modality, and it was a bit punishing, because it makes you look at how you're broken. But I also noticed that within that they missed something. They had thought that the events of your life, the traumas of your life, would cause you to change your energy, and then those things would happen. And what I found was, after working with thousands of people through the energy medicine school that I run and workshops and all, is that quality is a soul quality that is innate, and your body was chosen specifically to express that. And so we have this life purpose that is that every cell in our body. Yeah. Oh, sure. Go ahead, Richard.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying here. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Somebody just jumped in, and those life purpose qualities are actually energetic. And so I don't know if your folks talk chakras, but people that understand chakras or energy, the body's aura or energy, the energy of your body serves this deeper purpose. What Jung called the primary archetype, and the primary archetype he called is the self. But the self has one of five basic purposes in life, and you'll know those people, and we call them the creative idealists. They're the ones who are super creative, and they're writers and artists, and they will bring Einstein, for instance. You know, they'll bring ideas to the world that seem to come out of nowhere, and they are actually the ones that will change the world if allowed to. Steve Jobs is, you know, the people, people that are willing to use their ideas to change the world. And then there are people that, and they tend to have the tall and lean bodies, and very sort of rigid. They tend to have a lot of anxiety. And then there's the next person of the five are the super soft people. They are what we call the emotional intelligence specialists. They have a sensitivity that is off the charts. And you know, if the room changes degree one temperature, they're like, oh, it's so hot in here. And they'll you know, if they're out in the sun too long or in large crowds, they get overwhelmed by stimulus, and they're incredibly sensitive. They're like sponges for life. And they are also the most sensitive to love, and they want to be loved the most. And so when they're in their defense, we call them the poor me's, because they're the ones who are always begging for you to love me. If you loved me, it would be better, and you hurt my feelings. And so and we know people like that. And the key with that person is that they're super sensitive, but they're also really gentle. They've never hurt a fly. And so there are other profiles, which we'll talk about, which are very sensitive, but they have the ability to hurt a fly. So that one is the very gentle, soft people. And we know that you can't change, you know, we know this person's always like that. And then you think about your family members, your children, and this is what's really important about learning the profile, because when you know that other people aren't like you, don't try to motivate them the way you motivate, and you know that their purpose is very different, and so when you're working with a creative idealist, you want to encourage them to think outside the box. If you're working with an emotional intelligence specialist, you want to make sure that they know that they're loved and are supported, and you talk gently with them one-on-one. And then when you are, and then the next one is what we call the team player, who are the warm, sort of, you know, strong, big smiles. Whenever they see you, they pat you on the back and they give you a hug, and they're always asking you about you. It's like, oh, don't worry about me. What about you? How do we do this? And whenever you're sick, they show up with a casserole. They're always there to help. If somebody's got a flat tire, they'll pull over. They're great Samaritans. They're great companion people. And when they are in their sort of their non-resourceful state, they are people who will be very resentful and feel like they're doormats, and we call them the people pleasers. They end up people pleasing, and they feel like they're being taken advantage of, because nobody does for them what they do for other people. Even though when you offer to them, they say no, I'm fine. So they're in that sort of caught in what we call the defense of that wonderful team playing quality. So that the team player by nature gets along with everybody, but when they're in their defense, they're people pleasing and not happy. And we all have some of these.
This reminds me a little bit of a book that came out, I think it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, Kevin Lehman and the Birth Order book, which was real interesting, just because of the characteristics that you lay out. And I want to talk certainly about all of this as we continue. But I want you to think about this as we go to break. And that is, I'd like for you to share with us, if I read the book and I go through the testing, if you will, the process of determining which profile I am, and I don't like it, can I change it? We're going to find out if you can on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Reese Thomas of the Reese Method, and it's about... discovering your life's purpose. That's what the Reese Method is about. Discover your purpose, how to use the five life purpose profiles to unlock your hidden potential and live the life you were meant to live. And of course, Reese has just gone through
I did the first three out of the five. Yes.
But it sounds like you've mentioned some of the others. Needless to say, we'll go through the others as well. But I'm curious, because we have, I know of another individual who is an intuitive who can see aura colors. And, you know, she says, I'm a yellow violet, you know, and then, of course, she defines what yellow is and what violet is and what the combo is and so forth. And I said, well, is it possible to change that? And she says, well, actually, if you really want to, yeah, you can change your aura colors. You can make changes to your consciousness and your attitude and all these kinds of things, and you can kind of shift into different colors. And she's known people who have actually done that, not necessarily consciously, but it's just like going through their lives. Traumas happen, things happen, and so forth. So I'm curious. This is not something that's hard and fast. Can I Can I change from the creative idealist to the emotional intelligence specialist or to the team player, et cetera, et cetera?
No.
Oh!
Never and no chance.
And I'm not sure if you're being facetious.
It is stamped on your forehead when you come in.
Okay.
And the only way to find out what you are is to come into relationship with other people and see it in their eyes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because your brain can manipulate your energy field. And so what she's seeing are the chakras.
Right.
And your chakras, you can consciously, through the vows that we talked about, you can consciously actually run your system wrong. And yes, you can change the color of your aura. You can, I mean, if she says you're a red violet, that means that you're a creative idealist, knowledgeable achiever, which I would say that would be probably pretty clear for you when you read the book. And she's right about that with you. Now, but the reality is that those are your true colors. Could you build up the green of the heart and the orange of the second chakra and be an emotional intelligence specialist? Yeah, but it would be like pulling teeth for you.
It wouldn't and be the you, true you, is what you're saying.
You might find that you get the best feedback from a sickly parent if you take care of them that way and you love them that way and you try to be so hard that, and you could actually change the color of your aura, but your aura is the last stop of power. Your chakras are the last element. The first is the soul energy, the soul dimension of consciousness, which is sort of your deepest character. And then there's the life purpose level, which is like what the martial artists train, the Hara line, what I call the life purpose line. I did 25 years of martial arts, and I didn't realize I was training to be a healer. But to recognize that there's a part of you that's unbendable and non-negotiable and has already contracted to do exactly what you're supposed to be doing on the planet, and your opinion of it means nothing. It will, and it only attracts to you what you are. The law of attraction works for that deeper level, this profile level of consciousness. And you have the chakras that serve. The chakras are the actual individual dimensions of consciousness that allow you to experience your life purpose. And all they do 24 hours a day is tell you what your life purpose is. But if you don't want to be that, if your chakra says I am both compassionate, loving, and a bit of an ass, and yet you vowed to never be an ass like my dad, or never be a problem, never be a jerk, never be, and I'm only going to be good. What happens is that you may actually pretend that you're a different profile in behavior only, and your chakra will shut down that part of you, that dimension of you will shut down the ability to feel this deeper quality. But it's the jerk in you that actually stands up for you and stands up for other people. It's the one that does something that nobody else would do in a situation, even though it's uncomfortable for other people, because it needs to be done. And so in its shadow, it's the jerk, but in its power, it's actually your real energy. And so the truth is that it is absolutely impossible to change your life purpose. It's a contract. And yet she's right that people, through the will of their mind and trying to be somebody that they aren't, they literally project a different mask that will actually, live through the wrong chakras, and they can appear through her vision to have a different aura, or they were living in the wrong aura when they met her. And she reads their aura, and then they discover who they are, and their aura changes, and their aura, they live more in their core chakras, which will give them a different hue. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is to understand that these are just traits that we know in people. They don't have to be. You don't have to be a psychic seer to know your life purpose. You just have to know what it feels like. Are you a person that's creative? Are you a person that's a deep feeler? Are you a person that really caretakes others naturally, not because you're supposed to? And or are you a super achiever? Are you a person that sees the big picture and has a lot of letters behind your name and can manage lots of people and knows exactly where the furniture belongs and has a great eye for color, or is a great manager of large hard to figure out operations? You know, so they have the mind that works on that sort of structural way. And then or are you a person who's just a leader, and you know, and you are you have huge energy and you're very charismatic and people want to follow you and they want to listen to you and they want to hear you and they want to be like you. And if they don't want to be like you, or they're challenging you, you're not afraid to fight them, and you do a lot of battling in your life. And the charismatic leaders are also the warriors. They're the ones who've got this huge energy to stand up for what they have. But basically, they always have to be on a mission in life. And so you know, recognizing that these are, it's so much easier to know yourself through these qualities within you. And of course, our society tells men that they're supposed to be the achievers or the leaders, and women are supposed to be the caretakers or the soft, compassionate, loving people. But the truth is that the, you know, what we're told, that the difference between men, the difference between people primarily is that some are men and some are women, is actually a total, it's really, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, only at the first chakra. At all the other chakra levels, there's an even split between these five qualities, and even at the physical level, because their bodies will be those types of bodies that serve that deeper purpose. The bodies and the chakras, everything about you serves this deeper purpose. Not knowing what it is leaves us feeling like we're not sure what our life purpose is. And I did a look up on Google, not on Google, but on Amazon, about books about life purpose. And there were 150,000 books written on life purpose.
Wow.
150,000. You'd think we'd have it figured out. But when I learned this system as an energetic system, not as a sort of behavioral system, and I noticed that these people who were very successful, I was working at a country club at the time and working with high level you know, people who because of their success, you would think these people know who they are, they've got it figured out. Nobody had any idea who they were, and not that they didn't know part of who they were, but they had rejected such huge qualities within them and important qualities for them to actually express their true life purpose, that they were living sort of like a partial life that was very successful at the external level, but internally they were just as lost as everybody else. And you know, so it's truly the you know, you think about someone who is you know, a great first chakra person who's like a billionaire, and a person who doesn't have a penny. They both are really stuck in survival mode. The billionaire, no matter how much they make, it's never enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are constantly striving to gain more, get more things, because they're wounded around the first chakra. And even though they're wounded in the excessive way. And then there's the person who can't put a penny together, and they're wounded the other way around poverty. And so understanding that those wounds will create a sort of a persona. They're not who you are. And of course, you know, a knowledgeable achiever will always make more money. The charismatic leader will make more money and lose more money. The team player will work a service job primarily. The emotional intelligence specialist will tend to do, they can be great therapists. They can be great kindergarten teachers and work with the elderly, but they love one-on-one type of interaction. And creative idealists can't remember where their money is, because they're always coming up with new ideas, and they have a hard time sort of coming up with one product that then makes a lot of money. So each of them are very, and if you go through any aspect of your life, and when you recognize that each of those qualities deal with life completely differently than the others, then you think about, oh my God, I've been trying to raise my child like me, and they're not like me. They're like my wife, you know, or they're like my, you know, they're like my husband. And trying to get them to be more like me is a losing battle, and will really hurt them. And so in child rearing, or if you're managing people, you know, making sure that they're in the right job. And the right job isn't like getting them in the right job to make the right amount of money. The right job is where they get seen and heard and understood for their greatness. And if you treat everybody like they're supposed to be knowledgeable achievers, I've done a lot of business coaching training lately, and if you are in any sort of business program, if you're not a knowledgeable achiever, you ought to step out. And I mean, it's like you should feel bad about yourself, because you have, you know, to be a good business person, you have to do things on time and understand things and study and work hard and be bottom line oriented and, you know, all of that stuff. But But of course, every one of the profiles is going to run a business completely differently than the other ones. And so a great business program would be one that would teach five ways of doing business to these five kinds of people so they can all be happy, rather than only the one person, the knowledgeable achiever, actually being happy with themselves at the end of the program.
You know, it raises this thought of the way that the people that I come across, whether they be in relationships that I have, whether it be at work or elsewhere, and then the, I'll call them associations. These are the people that I come across when I go to a restaurant or a store or I'm driving and so forth. And, and I think about, this thought that's come about in this regard to all of these profiles, these five basic profiles, and just the characteristics that we exhibit, is that we, you know, I want to make sure that I am living on purpose,
right?
So that I can, hopefully, I mean, one of the things that we talk about on this program is, you know, not just new paradigms for a new world. We're looking for those new ways of living, because the ways that we're living now aren't really working too well for everybody. I want everybody to prosper. I want everybody to have good health, excellent health. And I want everybody to thrive, not just survive. Enough of the survival. That has to go into the dumper, kind of thing. And so I look at these people around me and I'm going, how many of these people really care? Or for that matter, how can they care? How many of these people have even heard of this? So I'm curious as to how much education, how important, from your perspective, is not just education, but an education to an individual in terms of better being able to better find, and because I've always felt like I've always been in the right place at the right time, kind of thing. But not everybody's that way. I mean, people go through their lives and they, this is what my dad did and his dad did and my mother and her mother and so forth. But I don't really like it, but it's just what the family does. And I'm going, really? And are you happy? So I'm curious about that in terms of education. How important is education and an education for each of the people that are listening right now, the people you come across, in order to know that, hey, there are other choices that I can make?
Well, it's so important that I've been running the Rees Thomas Institute for the last 10 years, and it's a 3-year training in energy medicine and this transformational technique. Because ultimately, the way we've been taught to learn is, and I actually just did a, I just, I was just doing a live stream about an hour ago, about how my school is a bit like a mystery school. And in our system of learning, you get a diploma that tells you who you are. And when someone says, well, who are you? You'll hold it up and say, I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a business person. I've got my therapy degree. I'm a therapist. And in our system, what you learn that is other people's ideas defines you. And yet in the true system of empowerment, which every great leader has to subscribe to, and almost always the greatest of all the leaders have found some of these mystery schools and been trained in understanding that it is their soul that needs to dictate what they graduate with, not their brain, that the final scroll, the final certificate is a scroll to the person who has achieved some level of enlightenment and is ready then to is now self-perpetuating. So they're released from the mystery school once they are able to self-perpetuate their own enlightenment. And the scroll is a blank document. It's a blank scroll. And what that means is that it's symbolic of the fact that our life purpose is written on our soul. And until you do the deep inner work to be able to read that, and the soul doesn't speak English, it only speaks through feeling. And until you're able to feel deeply who you are in each moment and what that person within you is calling you to, what you are doing is you're becoming an expert at something in avoidance of the fact that you have no idea who you are. Now, the good news is that as children, we knew exactly who we were, because all we were was this non-form. Mm-hmm. We come into the world and we're just ourselves. We're non-form. We don't even think we have a body. We're not even looking and saying, oh gee, I have fingers and hands and toes, and that makes me a person. And my genitals tell me whether I'm a boy or a girl. We're not thinking that way at all. We don't even want to know. We don't even want to have a name. But parents name us, tell us we're a boy or a girl, start putting us in the form, and they hook our attention away from this place of non-form where we totally know who we are, where the world is literally the Garden of Eden. And they bring us into their world of thinking where the world is limited, where it's a little bit of like hell, where punishment happens and people's anger hurts and all of these elements that we have to protect ourselves from. And we lose this deeper connection. So one of the things that I teach in the book is I teach this thing called the secret place, where everybody has some place that they had as a child that their soul left them breadcrumbs to. And it's a place that usually you were between 4 and 7 or so, and you were still connected to that soul quality within you. And you could go somewhere outside the house or somewhere around your neighborhood or in the woods or up in a tree. For me, it was up in a tree. I had a couple different ones. I was fishing off the dock in our house in New Hampshire. And I was totally in my world of imagination, and when I go there right now, I can just feel my energy field just expand. And then there was the person I was inside the house. And when I take that person back in the house, there was this sort of judgment. I felt like I had to be somebody else. And I literally compress my energy field and stop feeling who I am. And eventually that becomes the life pattern. And our energy fields are highly compressed to be who we're supposed to be, not who we actually are. So the idea that our education system is really helping us live our life purpose, it's not. It's a vocational system. Yeah. It is teaching us to have a vocation. It is not teaching us anything about who we are. As a matter of fact, when we demonstrate who we actually are, which would mean somebody that wouldn't want to learn that way at all, we are put in the dumb class. We are recommended for extra remedial help. I luckily was a dyslexic person, and that type of didactic frontal learning, very few people learn that way. Knowledgeable achievers learn that way. Everybody else is just bored to death. And they suck it up and they try, but emotional intelligence specialists can learn that way if the teacher's nice. But basically the rest of the group is lost. And so teaching, I would say that learning these five profiles for anybody in education will change everything. And great teachers know this already. Great managers already know that there are these types of people, and you have to teach to that person's strengths. And if someone's, you know, they call it, it's easier for people to think they're kinesthetic or they're auditory or they're this, but really it's this much deeper. The kinesthetic, there are two types of, you know, the charismatic leaders and the emotional intelligence specialists are very sensitive. They're the super sensitive ones. One's sensitive about protecting themselves and others and being defended, and the other one's just sensitive about everything. And they're internal frame people and external frame people. But understanding the profiles is to recognize that there are different ways that we are here to live our lives, not just learn the course material. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we're taught that being a knowledgeable achiever, being smarter and focusing and doing your homework, you know, that's the way to be. And it negates a lot of the great qualities within people. And then they're very confused later on in life as to what they ought to do with their life or what kind of jobs they should take.
Well, you know, this reminds me of a public service announcement that I used to see where it started out. The first shot was of a kid playing in a little boy playing in the dirt with his dump truck. And you cut to the adult, and here he is working on a construction site with all kinds of cement mixers and so on and so forth. Little girl, we have the next scene. She's playing with her dolls, sort of doing a nurse's thing, you know, taking care of the doll and bandaging it and so forth. Cut to an adult. There she is working in the ER, in the emergency department. And I always thought that there was such a disconnect from one to the other. And I'll tell you, where I experienced the disconnect. There were two things in my educational experience that are that epitomize this disconnect. Number one is the mythological three R's of education: reading, writing, and arithmetic. And only one of those starts with an R. And there's no such word as arithmetic. The other part was that as I was in school, and I'm talking about late grade school and high school, I was taught in health class that boys and girls, male and female children, are different. And they learn differently. Their brains develop differently. So they will be in a classroom and boys will be a little more active because they got more energy going on. And little girls will be a little more sedate, not always. But the general rule was you had more active and not so active, right? And so on and so forth. And then when I got out of high school and before I went into junior college and so forth, I started hearing about how in the educational system they were having problems. And so they started giving kids Ritalin to normalize them. And I'm going, wait a minute, but you just told me back there that we were different. Why are you normalizing us? I have never, ever understood that other than for the purposes of control. But again, that's all part of the continuing disconnect between childhood, that formless aspect that you talked about, and then the oh-so-structured person as we grow up and become an adult.
Right. And being an adult, and amazingly, being adult is the most childish thing you can be, because an adult is actually an illusion that a child creates in their mind of what their parents are. And then they try to live that out, because that's what they think they're supposed to do, and they try to be that. So actually, when you're acting like what would be the archetypal adult, you're actually the most childlike. You're the most childish.
And there is a big difference between childish and
right,
childlike.
And childlike. Yeah. Because childlike is an adult who has their inner child, their child archetype as being a, you know, as one of their major elements, has all of their energy all the time. An adult is someone who compresses themselves into a form of working and doing these certain things and behaving a certain way and limitation. But I wanted to, I mean, you said so much in there that's so important about the understanding the importance of the profiles. One of the things that you said was that you grew up and you were taught that little boys and little girls were different, and this is how. And so if you were a little boy and you were softer and more quiet, you should feel ashamed and guilty about that.
A bigger disconnect.
And you should feel ashamed and guilty, and you should hide that about yourself. Yeah. And if you're a little girl and you're one of the ones, you want to punch that boy in the face and you want to, you know, push him around, and you've got all that energy and you're the one that's the disruptive element in the class, you should feel really bad about that. And you should be ashamed. Shame and guilt are the two most important drivers in children's lives when they decide on who they are. And it started in the household where it was that impossible choice between being who they are and getting loved. And that's just an impossible moment of truth for a child, where they have to choose being loved and being caretaken because they just can't go it alone. And so they give up the self and they vow to always do something or never do something else. And every vow you make in your life, there's no such thing as a good vow, because a vow is polarizing. And when you polarize yourself, you're not a human being anymore, because human beings have both shadow and light, and they have good and bad traits. But behaviorally, then you get into school, and schools are constantly trying to get everybody to behave a certain way. Mm. And if that way is what's natural to you, school's just great. But if it isn't, you put up with it, because if you don't, you don't graduate, you don't get out, that your parents aren't going to, you know, approve of you. You're going to have to do, you know, so you have to come along. But that guilt and shame, it's so important. And I talk about it in the book, because later in life, when you have actually become that adult that is this crazy notion of what your child thought an adult ought to be, and then you realize that you don't really know who you are, and you are sure that there's something big missing, and you can't figure it out at all because you just can't feel it. and you try something new. You try to be more, you're a corporate executive man, and you're out there doing that, or let's use your commercials. You're the guy out there, and he is, you know, the strong, and he's out there, and he's got all these trucks, and he's running a huge business, and he realizes that he's heartless, and he has a heart attack, and he's been heartless his whole life. Because that's what a man ought to be. And he's got to be tough and hard, and then he starts realizing that his heart really cares about people, really has the most compassion. And the first time he says something loving to somebody, he has this huge wave of guilt and shame that comes over him. And he doesn't know why. And then he feels like, well, I shouldn't be saying that. That's a terrible thing. But it's what's actually happening is that he's now challenging that vow, because the shame of having that open heart when he was a child, the guilt and shame that he had, that he then vowed never to show, comes up again and has to be dealt with. And so amazingly, when you are actually doing your deepest inner work, you will have to deal with the fact that when you stand out and are willing to be yourself again, you will feel this deep emotional sort of jolt of, oh my God, this is terrifying. I'm too vulnerable. I'm too open. And there'll be a guilt and a shame around it, because we're taught, we teach our children in school how to be who they are through shaming and guilt. And praise for doing what you're supposed to do. Don Miguel Ruiz calls it domestication. It's like the way you would domesticate a dog is the way we domesticate our children. And we are taught not to be ourselves. And this is why I wrote the book, because it's so logical in how we do it that everybody buys it. And yet it is the worst thing we can do to people. And so my school, I run a 3-year energy medicine school, and we have fun discovering who we are, and it's actually, we spend almost the entire 3 years undoing the wrong learning that people learned about who they are and what their purpose is and why they're a man or a woman and what they're here on the planet to do. And because we've not been taught that you're supposed to have this inner purpose that's unique to you, and yet is both inspiring internally and externally when you express it.
That's a very good point. And I was watching a program the other day, and I heard this phrase. These two individuals, they're in the military, and this one individual, you know, was actually doing something rather exemplary, not out of the ordinary. This is what they were ordered to do. This is what they were instructed to do, and they were looking at the sergeant, and the sergeant basically says, "Look, you're going to be disciplined for doing it wrong. But what do you want, a medal for doing it the way you were supposed to do it in the first place?" Not that there's a whole lot of difference there between what you've already described, getting praised for. Yeah. But it's interesting. Okay, so now the praise is taken away in the military unless you do it wrong. And if you do it wrong, you're going to be disciplined. You're going to be punished and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I find that real interesting as well.
And that's how it starts out. I mean, when the child comes into the world and they are living in that other dimension where they see your angels and guides around you and your energy field and they don't see your body at all. They're not even looking at you. And you're snapping your fingers like, look at me. This is mommy, right here, mommy.
Yeah.
And you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, somehow me being out in the non-form world is bad because they can't deal with me like that. That's, you know, that we learn immediately that you get more attention. And if a child's not paying attention to you, the parent walks away. And so we learn on that. And then what happens is that we become so afraid of not getting the reward of attention that then as Don Miguel Ruiz also talks about, he talks about we become auto domesticated people and our brains. Literally by our vows, we vow to always be this or never be that, or always pay attention, always love mommy, always be a girl, always be, and we, or never be a boy, never be stupid, never be whatever it is that we decide. We automatically domesticate our energy that can be an idiot sometimes and yet brilliant the next moment. We have to always be, you know, smart enough. We always have to, and we literally become our own parent. And that's ultimately why we then, but when we get out of the house, you know, in our 20s and 30s, we are the most unconscious that we will ever be in our lives. And that's why the midlife calling comes, like what I call in the book, your midlife calling. or it's really your midlife crisis, yeah. where you realize you've become your parents, and you can't stand it. It's like, oh my God, you've gotten so far away from your soul. It's so far in the distance that you now have this longing in you that you can't describe. You can't understand it, and you long for something richer. You long for more intimacy. You long for more love. You long for more connection. But in your 20s and 30s, you're so ego-driven to create a person that you're supposed to be. I'm going to be a good mother. I'm going to be a good business person. I'm going to be and that was driven by the child. The child created that image of what you ultimately are going to be. By the time they're 4, 5, 6 years old, most of that stuff's already in there. And that illusion of what an adult is a child notion. And so the people that say that they're the most adult are usually the most childish. And the people that are playful and loving and living life and transforming and willing to do anything and aren't attached to life in rigid ways are the ones who will teach us the most. Mm.
Extraordinary stuff. Rhys Thomas, my guest, he's the author of Discover Your Purpose. He's the creator of the Rhys Method, available at rhysmethod.com. That's R-H-Y-S, rhysmethod.com. You can find out more about these five profiles, these personality profiles, if you will, or purpose profiles, life purpose profiles, and learn more about them, learn which one you are, find out about this three-year, medicine?
Can I give you another URL as well?
Please.
To get the book, the easiest way to get the book is discoveryourpurposebook.com. And when you buy the book through my website there, you'll still buy it for the normal price on Amazon. But what'll happen is that will also give you, when you buy the book through the website, what'll happen is that you will also get a whole series of bonuses, bonus lectures that I give, bonuses from other people that are sponsors. It's just some really cool stuff. And you'll also, when you buy the book, there's a member site as well where you get some meditations that I have in there, some really powerful meditations that I do in the school. So you definitely want to sign up that way. And if you're interested in going further in this work, there's also the Rhys, R-H-Y-S, ThomasInstitute.com. And those, all of those websites are, will give you enormous amounts of information. And this profile product is one of the pillars, one of the legs of the program that I teach. And it's the foundation. It's sort of like the missing link, the missing piece of what's missing in most spiritual work. Because in most spiritual work, we're releasing a lot of things, but then we're not sure what we're going to be when we're done. Whereas this gives you the foundation of, this is what I'll always be. This is what's been sort of written on that emerald in your heart. The emerald tablet is your life mission.
Absolutely. And of course, we encourage you to check out those websites. We'll be linking to the most prominent ones as well and letting people know about them and encourage people to do so. And I want to thank you, of course, for being a part of the program and sharing this hour with us and taking the time. And if you ever find yourself out here in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue our conversation.
I would love to. I would love to.
Before we wrap...
I love Santa Barbara and I love California. I used to play out there, tennis tournaments out there, and I haven't been back enough, only a handful of times. So.
Well, very good. Well, before we wrap up the program, I have three final questions to ask you, and I'm already anticipating the answer to the first question based upon what we've been talking about in this program. The first question is, who is Rhys Thomas?
Thomas, the who is Rhys Thomas? It's a moving target. I'm a person who is highly creative. My primary profile would be the creative idealist. I'm a person who looks at things differently than everyone else. I'm an iconoclast. I'm a person that will see what everybody else is doing, and no matter what. And this is since I was a little kid. I look at it and I go, "You could do that better." And so I took what Alexander Lowen and Wilhelm Reich did, which might be the most powerful work ever in consciousness, in understanding humanity. And I said, you know, they missed this. They missed the part where you get to live it in your power. And And you know, I work with all the great authors, Carolyn Mason. I always find she missed the thing on the chakras or on the archetypes. And I've always been that kind of person that sees something that nobody else sees. I also have my secondary traits are the knowledgeable achiever and the charismatic leader. So I love to speak and talk about my ideas. And rather than a charismatic leader that's going to be someone who's a very strong speaker and can tell the same story. I mean, I've probably, since the book has come out, I don't know how many radio shows, 25 radio shows. I've never done one even close to being the same twice. I've sold a few of the same stories, but basically it's a flow of consciousness that's who I am. And if I'm going to be genuine, I can't stick to one story. I've got to be in the moment and be sharing that. And I've got a knowledgeable achiever that knows enough about what a knowledgeable achiever does to have hired a knowledgeable achiever to help me finish the book. And the book is a spectacularly well organized and written book that has exercises, transformational elements. It teaches you about both your shadow and your light and your negative pleasure and your positive pleasures and your greatest powers and shows you will help you see yourself in a light in a very light and fun way and everybody else in your life that will make life make so much more sense.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I've got a sort of like an inner purpose and an outer purpose. As we all do. My inner purpose is one to model what it's like to really live with and struggle with who you actually are. And be that and understand that is not, you know, there are no easy jobs on planet Earth because your job is being you. And there isn't one person on planet Earth that wants you to be you. Everybody wants you to be who they want you to be. And so the most dissonant thing we can be on the planet is to be ourselves. And it's the thing that we're never taught to be because nobody knows us but us. And the only way to know yourself is to go deep inside. So each person has each of the five qualities within them. I've got all five, you've got all five, but they're in a very specific order based on how we're supposed to come into our self-knowing. And all of us have, you know, the soft quality and the thinking quality and the caring quality and the leading quality and the achieving quality. We all have some of those, but one or two of them are really at the top and that's what we have to be doing in our and really honoring in our lives as the primary. We have all of them and we have to honor all of them within us because in the world there are those five qualities as well. And this is my bigger idea and picture is that this, you know, there's this concept called the 100th monkey, and there's something that we're missing in the world right now that will pull together why we can't get along, why we divide ourselves at borders of countries, why we consistently are just bombing and killing people for oil and for no good reason whatsoever, and why we're basically a warring world, and the reason is that the two people that are running the world right now are the knowledgeable achievers and the charismatic leaders, and they are driven by power, and the other three are actually the people that will, when we see them as being powerful people in their own right because of what they are born to be, and let them be just as equally a part of our world of power and recognizing that power is in coming into balance, we will have a chance of surviving. And the world will have a chance of really coming into this utopian sort of concept where we'll have some, you know, our president who cries in front of us or something crazy like that. But really the bigger picture for me is that people don't even understand that these profiles are equally distributed between men and women. That alone will change the world and change the way we operate in our lives and in with our children. And when we start operating with our children differently, we create generations of people who see the value in all people rather than just in what their specialty is. Because each one of those profiles will very much see that they're the only one that's sane. rather than understanding that there are five different, literally five species of human beings walking on the planet, and they need to be supported, and we, of course, every society needs creative people, feeling people, caretaking people, achieving people, and leadership people. And when they all work together, when the leaders see all the other four as people that they need to inspire, and the achievers see all the other four as people that they need to guide and give structure to, and the team players see that all the other four are the ones that they have to pull together and make them realize that we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional intelligence, the emotion intelligence specialists, the feelers have to help teach us that the most powerful element in the entire universe is love, because it's what holds everything together. And the creative idealists have to teach us that what we are doing right now is going to be different 10 years from now, and that we can't hold on to old ideas and try to refit them to the future, because it'll never work. It never has worked, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So that's that my bigger picture is the first one is each person needs to come into terms with these five qualities within them and which ones are really running the show, and then they have to, and then out in the world that person can go out and awaken. When they're owning their own power, they can awaken the power in everyone else and in an equal way. And when our countries are being run by an equal number of all five of these, we will live in a world where everybody is, you know, where we're not having this just constant battle between power hungry idiots.
Yeah. Well, I've used the analogy that there's this lifeboat, and it will hold 7.5 billion people. However, mm-hmm. there is one caveat. The only way you're getting on this lifeboat is if you are willing to let go of the old ways of doing things.
Nice.
Because we aren't taking those with us. They aren't working now. They never will work, just as you've described. And so that's all we ask, is that you be willing to try new ways of living and loving and learning and playing and thriving. And before we let you go, final question, who inspires you?
The two most inspiring people in my life were Einstein and Martin Luther King. And I feel, I mean, I run an energy medicine school, which is basically, you know, a healing school. And my hope is that I create that kind of healer. A person who knows who they are at that deep level and is willing to die for their cause and knowing so deeply who they are and are unwilling to fall in lockstep with the you know, rigid ancient thinking of yesterday are the ones who will always get my attention. And I feel like those two did more healing in the world than, I mean, there are many great people in the world, but those two, and Martin Luther King really spoke to in everything about him himself, even though he was at certain levels had a very tortured part of his life. He was able to use that same energy that was so, you know, churned up inside of him and use that energy to show people that integrity of a human being, there's nothing greater than to have integrity. It starts with yourself and not letting yourself be taken advantage of or somehow trying to be somebody that you aren't. Who you are is important, and you have to begin from there.
If you want to get in touch with Reese, you can do so through a couple of websites, one in particular, reesemethod.com, also reesethomasinstitute.com, and check out the book. It's entitled Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the Five Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potentials and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. Reese, thank you again so much for joining us on the program and sharing your story and this information. And I'd love to talk more about this Healing Medicine Institute that you have, the school, 3-year course. We need all the help we can get right now. And you're certainly providing a great deal of it.
That's my mission, and I love it. Richard, thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.